Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. Hear the word of the Lord. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and he also argued in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicureans and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some of them said, "What does this babbler have to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, and they asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know more about what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals all life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, or an image that is formed by the art and the imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." At that point, Paul left them, but some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. The word of the Lord. So for any of those of you that are on Facebook or anything like that, and that are friends with me on it, you'll know that I enjoy talking about church history. I enjoy mentioning the lives of the saints before us and what we can learn from them. Today, I want to talk a little bit about one of them, a saint that really did change the face of Christianity in a number of ways. Back in the 5th century, maybe it was the 6th century, but I think it was the 5th century, there was a young boy who lived somewhere in the British Isles. We're not sure if it was Britain itself or Wales or where exactly. A number of towns claim him as their own. But he was a young boy or a young man, and his father was a religious man. I don't remember if he was a priest or not, but I know his grandfather was a priest of the church. But this young man never really cared for the church. He never thought much of it. Well, at the age of 16, this young man, Patrick, was captured by pirates. He was kidnapped and he was taken to Ireland and was forced to become a slave. He lived in Ireland for 6 years, and there he had a master who had him tend his sheep and tend his flocks and do his housework. And during his time of enslavement, this inactive faith, this faith of his father and his grandfather, became a bit more real to him. And he began to pass his time by praying to God. He would spend hours out in the field while watching the sheep. And I can't be sure because I've never tended sheep, but I imagine it would be pretty boring. And so he passed his time by praying. And it was during this time that his faith became more real to him, and he really took on what it meant to be a Christian. And there was one night when he was sleeping, he heard a voice all of a sudden saying, "Patrick, get up. There's a ship waiting for you down at the dock. Speak to the captain and he will take you." And so, believing that he had heard the voice of God, Patrick got up out of bed and he went to the docks. There he found a man who was captaining a ship, and he asked if he could join him, to which the captain replied, "Of course, come on." And so St. Patrick, along with the captain and the fellow crew members, set sail back to Britain. And it was there, after returning home, that Patrick entered into the schools to become a clergyman, to become a priest. So he learned what it meant to become a pastor, to become clergy, to be well educated in the faith. And one night, he went to bed, and he fell asleep. And he had a dream, and in his dream, he felt like he was being called back to Ireland. He felt like he was being called back to those who had enslaved him. In his confession that he wrote, Patrick said, "I saw a man coming, as if it were from Ireland. His name was Victoricus, and he carried with him many letters. And he gave me one of them. I read the heading and it said, 'The Voice of the Irish.' As I began the letter, I imagined in that moment that I had heard the voice of all those people who were near the woods of Falkirk, which is beside the Western Sea. And they cried out as with one voice, 'We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us.'" It was after hearing this cry of the people of Ireland that St. Patrick awoke, and he decided that he would return to those who had enslaved him. He returned to Ireland, and he began to minister all across the island of Ireland. He went back to those who had enslaved him. He learned their language. He learned their ways. He learned who they were in order to minister to them, to become their pastor, to become their bishop, and to one day become one of the three apostles of Ireland. And one of the ways that he did this was he really changed the face of evangelism. Before this time, the church had really been about going into a place and converting them to their ways. In some ways, it was much like colonialism, where the church sent out missionaries and they sent them to a location, and the missionaries didn't always do a good job at interacting with the people, because instead of becoming like those they were ministering to, they expected those they were trying to minister to become like them. Patrick didn't really do that. He really changed the face of evangelism, where he went to Ireland and he had the thought, "Well, I'm gonna meet them where they're at. I'm not going to try to get them to come to where I am just yet. I'd rather meet them where they are and journey with them." One of the examples of this, and I'd mentioned this on Tuesday night at Bible study, the Irish were a polytheistic culture, so they believed in a multitude of gods. But one of their most dominant gods, one of their, you know, God at the forefront, was the sun god. And they represented him by just a circle. It was just a circle, and it represented God, the sun god. And so Patrick was able to minister to them saying, yeah, this God that you worship, you almost got it. You're close. There is a God that is more powerful than any other God. There is a God that gives life and peace and birth and sustains us, just like the sun sustains us here on earth. There is a God that sustains us even more. So he took that symbol and he talked to them about it, and he talked about the sun god, and he explained how there was a God even more true than that. And so to help them see that, he took a stone, and on one of the carvings of the circle for the sun god, he just took it and marked a cross over it. And that's one of the stories of how we got the Celtic cross, was that Patrick saw a way to evangelize to them and to meet them where they were, to enter alongside them and say, this is where you're at, but this is where we can go. Let's embrace this journey together. And so in today's passage, we have St. Paul, who is in the city of Athens. And Athens was known for their love of philosophizing, which I had to look up to see if that was a real word, and it is. But their love of philosophizing and debating and arguing and hearing new ideas, they were very much, they wanted to hear the newest thing. And so they had all the philosophers, they would gather together and they would debate each other, and they would argue with each other, and they would say, this is why this is valid, this is why this is invalid. In a lot of ways, it was like early Facebook. It was just a group of people that came together and argued with each other. But it was probably done a little nicer. And so they would discuss ideas with each other. And even we saw in our passage, some of them looked at Paul and said, what are you doing, you babbler? Like, what are you talking about? While others of them were like, I've not heard this before. Come argue with us. And so that's what he did. He took the opportunity, and if you've read the New Testament, you know Paul's weaseling his way into everything and always taking any opportunity he can to talk about his faith. And so that's what he did. He was invited to debate with them and to argue with them and talk philosophy with them. And so he came in, and he knew that they would be willing to hear this. You know, just like St. Patrick, he was really good at finding ways to talk about the gospel in ways that the people would be able to see. He would meet them where they were. And so one of the ways that he did this was he mentioned, he was like, yeah, guys, I was walking around town. I was just kind of being a tourist. And I noticed your statues to the gods. I noticed you have statues to Zeus and to Poseidon. I noticed statues to Ares and just a number of the other gods. But there was one statue that really stuck out to me. You guys have that little statue, and it says that this is to an unknown god. You guys have something dedicated to a god that you don't know. Now, part of this may be that the Athenians were just trying to cover their bases. You know, to Zeus and to Poseidon and to Ares and to Athena and to all the other gods. And if we forgot any, to you as well. You're not forgotten, we just don't know your name. And so it may have been that they were just trying to cover their tracks, to make sure that they included everybody. But it set up a really good opportunity for Paul, because Paul was able to look at this and say, you guys are afraid that you have missed a god, or that you have forgotten one, that there is some god out there that you don't know, yet you still want to pay them respect and give them honor. Well, I can tell you about this unknown god. I know who the unknown god is, Paul proclaims. The unknown god is the God of the Israelites. It's the God of the Jewish people. This unknown God is the one true God. And this one true God is known and can be known through Jesus Christ. This God that you have said is unknown, well, we have come to know him, and we have come to know him personally. This unknown God, you don't realize it, but this unknown God, he is the one true God. The other gods are mere idols made by hands. You merely carved out a statue of Zeus, and that is in our image. But this God instead created us, and we are in his image. This is the one true God, the God that you have been unsure of. And so Paul takes the opportunity to talk about the characteristics of this God. That this is the one true God who took on human form. The one true God who was born of a virgin, who lived a life of love and peace and selflessness. The one true God that came and lived a life in which he emptied himself out, in which he humbled himself to obedience, even when that meant dying. And not only dying, but dying the most despicable death, death on a cross. This is that unknown God, a God that lived among us, who died at the hands of the empire, who was laid in the tomb, and in 3 days was resurrected to life once again. This unknown God is indeed a God who came from on high, who humbled himself to come among us, and is now seated again at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Man, Paul is good at just getting into these conversations and finding a way to say, this is what you have been thinking. You almost got it. Let me take you a little further. Now, I really like both of these two figures in church history. I love St. Paul because he is, for the most part, he's pretty blunt. In his letters to Galatians, he has no problem ripping them apart. But he's also, he cares about people so deeply. And he finds a way to be all things to all people, and he doesn't tell the Athenians, I can't believe how wrong you are. Rather, he says, this is where you've got it right. But this is how you can be more right. And St. Patrick, I can't imagine being enslaved by people, escaping, and then having God say, all right, go back. No, sir. Nope. Not going to happen, God. But that's what Patrick does. He says, okay, I know the hope of the gospel, and I know that the gospel is for them too, and I know that they can have ears to hear it. And so he went back and he met them where they were. He even incorporated some of their symbols. One of their symbols was what's called a triquetra, which is commonly just known as the Trinity symbol. Three was a holy number to the Irish people, and so he was able to say, you see this symbol. It's one, but it's three. In many ways, this is like the God I worship. One, but three. Three, but one. Both of these saints can teach the church about evangelism. Evangelism wasn't about forcing anybody to change. But rather, both of these saints of the church knew that to evangelize, they needed to come and stand beside these people. They had to acknowledge where they were right, and to affirm them, and to build them up. But not to let them stay there, and to guide them and help them to find ways to lead them forward in the faith without invalidating their story. For years, both currently and in the past and throughout different times in church history, the church has struggled with evangelism at times because we expect them to do as we say. I think of the Crusades. The Crusades were not good evangelism. When it is convert or die, that's not good evangelism. Paul and Patrick show us good evangelism. Stepping beside their brothers and sisters who believe differently and say, you've got some of it right. Some of this is good theology. But this is how it gets better. This God that you think you worship, let me tell you how he really is. That's how we evangelize, is we journey beside people. I was having a conversation the other day. Who was I having it with? I was having it with Steve and Stephanie Malcolm. They pastor up in Stonington and Bucksport. And they were over at my house on Friday night. And we were talking about this a little bit. And part of what was mentioned was the way we spread the kingdom is not by force, but we spread it by love. Moody once said, or I think he even wrote a book called this, Loving Them Into the Kingdom. That the way that we evangelize is by showing love, by not discrediting or invalidating anybody, but rather showing them a better way through love. And so we meet people where they are, but because we love them, we don't let them stay there. We help them to see how their lives are pointing to the truth, but we help them see who the truth is, which of course we know is Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me for a minute? Almighty God, there are glimpses of truth all around us. Would you help us to walk beside those that are seeing these glimpses and helping to give them the full view? We sang For the Beauty of the Earth. And there are many who look at the world and they think there's got to be a God somewhere. Would you help us to enter beside them and say, we know the God who created this world. We know the God that loves this world. For those that have an inkling that you are there, would you help us walk beside them and point them to you? Would you use us like Paul and Patrick, that we might enter into the lives of others where they are and love them into your kingdom? Would you help us, O God, to not force anything upon anyone, but rather love them into the truth? God, there's a popular saying among pastors that this work is a long obedience in the same direction. It's not always quick work. It's not always fast. But it is a good and faithful work to journey beside others. That as we journey beside you, O Lord, that you help us to journey alongside others. That we can point them to this unknown God because we know him. The unknown God is no longer unknown. We know that the God that gives men and women their being and their lives and everything that they have, we know that this God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we are thankful that you journey alongside us. And that you call us to journey alongside others. God, for those that are seeking the unknown God in this world, would you help us to point them to you, the known God? Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.